Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Dan Lobby, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Fedor, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. What are you up to this Memorial Day?
Well, I'm sitting outside. It's hot. It's beautiful. I mean, this is kind of what Memorial Day is supposed to feel like, right?
Right. And you're supposed to be surrounded by people, usually,
for cookouts and stuff like that.
Minus that, of course. It's just like normal, I feel.
Right, exactly.
All right, so I was reading an article. I don't know why, but I was. I Googled Jamal Adams because I was interested in what was going on with him. I know he's unhappy with the New York Jets. And then my Google decided to just, like, fill in the rest of it, and it filled in Jamal Adams Browns. Like, that was the first thing that came up on my search, and I'm like, wait a minute. Did I miss something that somebody wrote about Jamal Adams to the Browns? And then somebody did some speculation thing about a first and a third for Jamal Adams. So first and a third for Jamal Adams. You in or out, Dan?
Oh, man. Well, look, I would have to consider it because we obviously know he's a very good young player. That's the type of player you'd want to give up those types of assets for. But uh-huh. I'd still be nervous, especially, you know, I think this regime specifically would be very nervous about giving up a first-round pick and a third-round pick. And those picks are going to be really, really important because eventually you're going to have to start paying guys. I mean, you could pay Myles Garrett today if you came to an agreement on an extension. So this roster is going to be getting very expensive as we go along. More and more guys are going to be becoming more and more extension eligible. So you've got to be able to use draft picks to bring in guys on rookie controlled deals. You've got to be careful with stuff like that. And then look, you bring in Jamal Adams. He's going to be expensive too. So this roster could get very expensive very quickly. Not too much about that, but you don't want to get too out of control.
So given that, and given where the Browns are in terms of I don't even know that you call it a rebuild. I'll just say plan. It feels like a rebuild every single year, though. But with their plan, how important is this season for them?
I think it's very important because they have to have a lot of questions answered. And most notably, they have to have the Baker Mayfield question answered. What type of quarterback is he going to be? Was last year the aberration, or was the end of 2018 the aberration? I mean, I think everyone kind of hopes and assumes last year was the aberration and everything swirling around was the problem, but we don't know for sure until we see him go out there and play in this system. So that's really the big question. Do you have your long-term quarterback going forward? And then, you know, you're trying to decide who do you want to pay? When do you want to extend them? The Nick Chubb question is going to come up at some point. So you've got to get all that figured out. But this season is really, really important because you've got a lot of young guys, most notably Baker Mayfield, that you do have to make long-term decisions on soon.
Are you still a Baker believer? Were you a Baker believer?
I was a Baker believer after that 2018 season. And you know what? I still believe he can be, at worst, a really good quarterback, right? I don't know if he's going to be Drew Brees or someone like that. We just don't know. And I think it's unfair to look at him and say he has to be that. I mean, we're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback in that situation. Mm-hmm. I still think Baker can be really good. I still think that accuracy is there. You know, the moxie, the swagger, whatever you want to call it. I do think that matters in a quarterback. And I think he's still got a lot of that. I just think last year was just the system was bad. Everything swirling around it was bad. It was kind of too much too soon for this football team. And I think Baker, in a situation where it's a little more calm around him, where the system is built to suit him better, I think he can be a really good quarterback.
talking with Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer Browns beat reporter. You bring that up. So much of this offseason was dedicated to helping Baker, maximizing Baker. But at some point, Baker has to do it himself, right? So if Baker is going to change something about him in the first couple of years that you have seen, what does he need to change?
I think he needs to man, that's a really good question.
Thank you.
I think he just needs to trust. I think he needs to trust his the offense around him a little more. Last year, I think he got away from that. If I look back to 2018 and even some of the Oklahoma tape, you see a guy who kind of embraces at times being the point guard, and he'll take advantage of what's there. And then if some mistake happens downfield, he can punish the defense down the field with his arm and his accuracy. And I thought last year, you know, for good reason, he didn't trust his offensive line as much. He didn't stay in the pocket. He bailed out a lot. And he's not the most athletic guy. We all know that. He needs to be willing to stay in the pocket. And sometimes you just have to take what's there, right? You just have to be the point guard and distribute the ball a little bit. And then when those opportunities come up, when there's a mistake down the field, or when you have a one-on-one matchup you love, that's when you can punish the defense.
How much do you think that the coaching change will matter in the grand scheme of Baker and what he does this year?
I think it matters a ton. Just because you brought in a guy who, if he's able to do what he did in Minnesota with Kirk Cousins, and he's able to put his system in, which is going to be heavier personnel on play action, every single number about Baker Mayfield points to him being more successful when you use play action and when you put more tight ends on the field, or just bigger personnel in general. Every single number that we've seen in his short sample size in his career points to him being more successful. So I think that alone, whether Kevin Stefanski is calling the plays or not, I think that alone is going to help Baker Mayfield. I'll give Jimmy Haslam a lot of credit. He said when he fired John Dorsey and Freddie Kitchens that he was going to pay attention to that stuff, putting Baker Mayfield in the best position. And it seems like all these hires so far have pointed to that.
Talking with Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer Browns beat reporter. You mentioned how pricey this roster is going to get. One guy is already pricey. That's Olivier Vernon. What is your sense on what his status is with this new regime?
It seems like they're going to pay him for another year. And, you know, that's sort of the benefit that they have is they can pay Olivier Vernon a bunch of money and then let him walk. You know, like I said, Myles Garrett, like I mentioned earlier, he's eligible for an extension. They don't have to do anything right now. I'm sure they'd love to get something done, but they don't necessarily have to start paying him right now. He's still on that rookie deal. A lot of these other guys, you know, it's after year three, so they've got a little time. So the thing about this defensive line is they did a really nice job beefing up the interior, but I still think there's a lack of depth when you look at the edges. So if you give up a guy like Olivier Vernon, who I thought was good last year, you know, he didn't put up big numbers, but before he got hurt, I thought he was good. And of course that injury risk is always there with him. I don't think it's a bad thing to necessarily keep him around and have a guy that you kind of know what he's able to do on that other side of Garrett.
Dan, everything with the NFL is basically at a standstill. And I think that makes sense. There are so many questions when it comes to the league and how it's going to proceed and what it's going to look like, what the cap is going to be, like all those different things, like what owners are willing to pay certain guys based on revenue and stuff like that. So with all of that being a question, do you feel like the Browns are set and done and just ready to go into whenever training camp happens with what they have, or do you feel like there are other moves that they want to make?
You know, I would never say never based on what we've seen from this regime. You know, this isn't John. Now, well, you mentioned the Jamal Adams thing. If John Dorsey were still the GM, I'd almost expect him to give up a first and third to bring him in. I think this front office and regime is going to be a little more measured in everything they do. But they have shown they're going to be aggressive, and they have shown that they do want to add talent. But, you know, I think you're right. I think it's really hard for a team to go out and make a really big move right now because nobody really knows when these guys are going to get in buildings. Nobody really knows what the season is going to look like. The NFL still has the advantage of the calendar on their side. But, you know, I don't know if there's another big move out there for this team. I know there's some names out there. I just don't know if those names necessarily fit here, especially if you start talking long term. I would never rule anything out, though. Andrew Berry has lived up to being an aggressive GM, as he promised he would be. But I think, you know, they've kind of added the pieces they want to add at this point.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because it feels like to me from the outside that every big name that's available, first it was Clowney, then it became Everson Griffin, and then it turned into Jamal Adams. It seems like every big name is now linked to the Browns. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is, you know, the Browns always seem to have holes that you can point at that need filled, right? And
yeah.
for a long time, they've always had the assets. They've always had, like, all the picks, all the cap space, all the money. So I think that's part of it. You know, honestly, I think another simpler part of it is the Browns move the needle. I mean, that's just a fact. You put Browns out there in a headline, whether you're a national writer or something like that, Browns move the needle, and so I think that maybe drives it a little bit as well. But I think a lot of it is just the Browns have always been a team, especially over the last few years, that makes sense for big money free agents or big moves because they have had assets to give up, they've had money to spend, they've had cap space. And so I think when people kind of look through teams and say, oh, well, this team needs a safety, they have money, they have caps, or they have money, they have picks, they could give some stuff up to get him. I think that makes sense.
Browns beat reporter Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer joining us. What should we expect from Kevin Stefanski in 2020? This is such a weird situation that he's been thrust into. It was already going to be difficult for him to install his system, rookie coach, try and balance all of the different responsibilities that come with being a head coach. So what are your expectations for him?
Well, there's a few levels to it, right? I think the lowest of bars is let's just have things be organized. Let's have this team have an identity. Let's make sure that things are running on time, behind the scenes, on game day. I know that, you know, when they kind of went back and watched last year, there was a little frustration with how slow the offense was moving. So let's move on from some stuff like that. Let's make sure that on Sundays, things look the way they're supposed to look. As far as expectations, I think the schedule is – yeah, I don't want to say it's a weak schedule, and I kind of hate doing that because you just never know what the NFL is going to look like season to season, especially in this weird season. And I think there are some tough games that could trip you up, but I don't think there's any reason that he can't have this team competitive and fighting for a playoff spot, especially in a year when you've got seven teams making the playoffs in the AFC. I don't think there's any reason that we can't get to Thanksgiving and see a path to the playoffs for this football team. I don't think that's an unfair expectation.
I know this is going back in time, but I'm curious because I don't think I've talked to you about this, and maybe people don't want to hear this guy's name, but why was it so bad with Freddie Kitchens?
I just think he ended up – I think he was in over his head, honestly. I think all the warning signs when you kind of look back at it and say, gosh, this guy was a running backs coach, and then he got promoted to offensive coordinator, and he did a really nice job as the offensive coordinator there. There were a lot of people that were also propping him up a little bit behind the scenes. It was such an unlikely jump, and whenever you kind of let yourself feel good about it, you look back and say, yeah, but this stuff doesn't usually happen in the NFL. You usually know who these guys are going to be. You usually know where they're coming from. This guy's been around for a long time. He'd never even been a coordinator, and I think it was just too much too soon for Freddie Kitchens.
So is there any reason for me to think that it could be too much too soon for Stefanski then?
I think it's fair if you want to look at that, but I just think the paths have been different for the two. Now, Stefanski, of course, was in one organization for a while. I know he wasn't an offensive coordinator for very long, but Kevin Stefanski is the type of coach. I almost look at him, even though he was an offensive coordinator and you hired him because you loved his system, I think he's got that CEO coach mentality. When he said back in January that he wasn't sure if he was going to call plays, I was a little cynical about it. You know, most guys say that and then they end up calling plays. But I honestly believe if he thinks Alex Van Pelt is better calling plays and he doesn't want to do it, he'll give that up. I think Kevin Stefanski is going to take a very CEO approach to this. I think he's going to run the whole team. He's not just going to be this guy who's got the headset on calling plays, and that's his forte, and everything else kind of runs in the background. I think he's going to be the CEO-type coach. I've said that like three times in this answer. That's how much I believe that. And I think it's going to be good for this team to have that type of coach.
So he's going to be the CEO of the Browns.
Well, don't tell J.W. Johnson or whoever. But, yeah, he's essentially going to be the CEO.
I know J.W. is all over Twitter. He probably heard that, too. Where do you think the Browns, Dan, where do you think they slot in when it comes to the AFC North? I don't remember too many people at this point last year say, oh, yeah, Baltimore, they're going to be this juggernaut. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden they are, and now they're kind of looked at that sort of way. So where do the Browns slot in now? Is it behind Baltimore? Is it in front of Pitt? Where is it?
Well, you'd have to put him behind Baltimore. I don't think anyone, even if you think like what we saw last year from Lamar Jackson isn't sustainable, and I don't know why you would think that. I think they can still be really, really good. I think they're still the class of the AFC North. I think you have to definitely put them behind Baltimore. You know, Pittsburgh is the wild card in all this. How's Ben Roethlisberger going to look? How is Juju Smith-Schuster going to look? And year two is kind of the guy at wide receiver. It didn't go great last year. That defense in Pittsburgh is still really good. And if they have an offense that can kind of match that a little bit, and, you know, you don't have Duck Hodges, you don't have Mason Rudolph throwing the ball, you have a healthy Ben Roethlisberger looking like Ben Roethlisberger or close to it, I think that probably puts Pittsburgh number two, at least on paper. So I would say, just to be safe, I would say the Browns probably have to slot in behind them. Because, look, they have to do it. They have to prove it. And you could say the same thing about Pittsburgh, but at least there's a little bit of a track record there to go off with the Steelers. And we know that defense is going to be really good.
I think that's probably a good thing, Dan. I feel like last year, look, there's optimism, right? And then there's, like, skipping steps. Like, I felt like last year with the Browns, a lot of people skipped steps, and they went straight to Super Bowl. And it's like, wait a minute, hold on. And I feel like this year, it's a little bit more measured with this team. Even some of the comments, well, with the exception of, who was it? Was it Grant Delpit? Somebody at the draft. It seems like there's a more measured approach with even the comments that are coming from some of the players. And maybe last year could have been a wake-up call because of that. I don't know.
Yeah, I think Grant Delpit said that they would be the best secondary in the NFL.
So, yeah, it was him. It was him.
He didn't get whatever memo that was sent out to the team. I mean, I can tell you, it just felt to me the vibe around this team as they went through this process of having to fire everybody again. It just felt like everyone felt burnt by last year and all those expectations and the Sports Illustrated cover and all the hype. And, you know, you can say it was created by the media or it was created by fans all you want, but those players were embracing it. There was a real belief that this team was going to be good. And it didn't happen. And I think they just all felt burnt by that. And for various reasons, you know, you've got Odell and Jarvis both had surgery. They've both been pretty low key this offseason. You know, we would have had our first OTA sessions last week. So there would have been a ton of media availability. So we've kind of missed out on some of that stuff as well. So just for various reasons, it has been a lot quieter. But even, you know, if you're on social media and you're watching Instagram stories and things like that, all these guys have just sort of been flying under the radar, and you'll see some workout videos here and there, but everything has been quiet so far. Some of that too might be some of the national media might have felt a little burnt too, because you know, they buy into the hype, they write all these stories, they hype this team up, and they go 6-10. So I think a lot of things have kind of converged to keep things quiet for this football team heading into this year.
Thanks for joining me, bud. Always appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, there is Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer Browns beat reporter joining on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.